Oh, mate, I'm so tired.
Yeah?
That part one went on and on, didn't it? But I think we're on the home straight now.
Yeah?
And if you're back for part two, that means you enjoyed the structure and it's going to be more of the same. We're recording a bit earlier. We should have a bit more energy.
Yeah.
Right, we're just going to crack straight into it, all right? We're just going to dive straight back into what we were doing.
Yeah, like an egg and an Olympian.
Yeah, yeah, I think... does an Olympian crack straight into it?
Well, no, an egg cracks straight into it, and diving right back into it is what an Olympian would do if they were a diver, you know?
Right, okay, yeah, yeah, great.
Yeah.
So,
any other questions?
No, that's all cleared up now.
Great, great.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to the host, and Joe prefers to the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host, and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
Chris Hilliard. He's emailed in his suggestions, and they're all Nicolas Cage related.
Oh, Nick Cage.
So three Nick Cages.
An admirer.
I like all of these, because we haven't done Cage at all. The Weatherman, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, and The Family Man. Two men movies. Have you seen any of those?
Have we never done Nick Cage?
No.
Ever?
Ever.
That can't be the case.
Someone told me on email, they said, oh, you've got to do Nick Cage, you haven't done Nick Cage. Have you seen any of these flicks, Weatherman, Sorcerer's Apprentice or Family Man?
I think I've seen Family Man. I am aware of Weatherman, but I don't believe that I've seen it. Sorcerer's Apprentice.
It's a Disney flick.
Is it an animated one?
No, it's live action.
Then I don't believe I've seen it, no.
It's quite silly.
No. I mean, we did already put a Nick Cage on the list, you know, just as a reminder from episode one.
Sure, but I think these are as good, if not better. They're more forgot-you-forgots. Like Weatherman and Family Man are both pretty plumb. I think Chris Hilliard, he really gets the game.
Is it Hilliard? Or is it Hilliard?
I like to say Hilliard.
As if the yard was hilly.
It's just Hilliard.
Right, yeah. I was curious.
I like to get people's names wrong.
No, I like to as well. I was just, do you ever like to think about where someone's name came from, the etymology?
No, I don't like to do that at all, actually.
Okay, in which case, really... which of the three boring Nick Cage films do you wish to put on the list, Adam?
If it was just one, I'd say The Weatherman is the most interesting because it's directed by Gore Verbinski, and it's a bit of an oddity, but I'd say it's big enough to be a forgot you forgot.
Well, it's on there. There you go. Congratulations. It's in at number 34.
Carl Salmon.
Never heard of it.
Carl Salmon.
Salmon, yeah.
Ants.
With Woody Allen. Not with Woody Allen, but of Woody Allen.
And let's remind listeners, about two-thirds of the way through the last episode, Joe invented a new rule, which was, if he didn't like, you know, just one of your films, if he felt like it transgressed and was a shit the bed, it meant that I wouldn't get to read out any of your other suggestions. And that's something that you have no control over. It's just the arbitrary nature of how I've pasted them into a Word document and the order in which I read them out in.
It's so true. Carl Salmon is tickling my salmon chin here. I am wondering. I mean, the reason I think Ants, I know it's a forgotten film.
Great.
But it also isn't, right? For three reasons. One, it wasn't as good as A Bug's Life, right? Which was the main thing that it was compared to. Two, it was compared to A Bug's Life because it came out around the same time. Three, it's Woody Allen making an animated cartoon in theory for kids or young audiences. Those are reasons why it survived in culture. I just don't think it has been forgotten. I'm sorry to say that I'm not... What I'm doing is I'm teetering on the edge of banning Carl Salmon's the rest of his list, but I don't think I will do that.
But also, I'd have to agree with the ban, and I would reject that ban.
Do you? That's a new rule for episode two.
Well, great. I'm introducing it. I think that's fair. I was on board with what you were banning last time, and I want the power of veto.
That's fine. But just to say, if you are vetoing my ban, then if you're the arbiter of my ban, then I'm the arbiter of your arbiter. Okay, because otherwise it's like what you're saying is, I'll have a decision, but you'll oversee my decision and you'll decide whether it's correct or not. That makes me feel very junior to you. Do you know what I mean?
No, because your decision is just quite fundamentally unfair, because I could read the list out in a completely different order and the one that's shit could appear at the end.
Yeah.
And I can see the list.
No, I get that. But like, if you're allowed to have that over me, what can I have over you?
You don't have anything over me. I'm the host of the show. And you told me I had to read out the list of films.
So what you're saying is you have it over me, but I can't have anything back over you.
There is nothing I have over you. You get to say, you get to speak your mind and say, oh, I don't think this person should get any more. Every single time you did that in the last episode, I laughed and said, yeah, okay. And I went along with it.
But one of the reasons I liked it was because it filled me with this sense of power that I was making a unilateral decision on behalf of both of us in a sort of chaotic and angry way, which you were forced to accept because of my mass and my appeal. Whereas now you're making it sound a lot more like you happened to agree with me and therefore you allowed it to happen. Which sort of makes me feel like you think I'm handleable. Do you know what I mean? I'm starting to think the only strategy I have is never to invoke my power so that you never have the ability to veto my invoking. You know what I mean? That could work.
It's up to you. I mean, this is how you play top trumps. You're like, I don't understand.
Right, right.
I don't mind.
Right. This is the high road you're taking, I see.
What?
No, go on. Yeah, no. Go on. Carry on.
One more from Carl Salmon.
Veto!
I don't know, really. I'm a natural glutton for lots of things. A glutton for punishment, I suppose, being one of them. It's amazing to me that I've been doing this job for over 20 years now.
That's it, Carl Salmon. You're done. Dylan Smith, The Fountain. Darren Aronofsky's The Fountain.
Never heard of it.
Ooh.
I don't know if I've seen that much Darren Aronofsky. What's on the old Darren Aronofsky list?
What, film-wise? Pie, Requiem for a Dream.
Oh.
The Fountain, The Wrestler. You love The Wrestler.
I don't love The Wrestler. I thought The Wrestler was fine. I mean, come on. Who loves The Wrestler?
I thought you loved
Mickey
The Wrestler.
Mickey Rourke. He's dead, isn't he? Is he dead? Did he die recently, Mickey Rourke?
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
I thought you loved The Wrestler.
Do you?
Black Swan.
He made Black Swan. I like Black Swan.
Noah.
With Rusty Crowe.
Rusty Crowe.
I never watched that. I have watched Pie. Pie's the sort of film that all... the sort of smart people I know have said, you should watch Pie. And I watched it when I was maybe a late teenager. And I thought, I don't really understand this. And then I never watched it again, you know?
It's a great first film.
Should I revisit it?
I think so. It's one of the, I can imagine young Joe being put on the back foot of being like, I'm not going to be told what a good film is. And I'm going to not like it as a result. But it's his best film, and it's probably one of the only ones that is worth watching, I'd say.
To be fair, your description of young Joe there is old Joe. Young Joe was like, I am going to be told what a good film is, and I'm going to be very upset at myself when I don't understand it, you know?
Right, okay, that's good. That's good clarity. But The Fountain's got Hugh Jackman in.
Oh, let's get it on the list, okay. I mean, I've never heard of it, but have you forgotten it?
Oh, absolutely. I never wanted to rewatch it. It's quite wanky and a bit much, but totally forgotten.
Let's do it.
He's also suggested The Hours, which I've never seen.
What, with Nicole Kidman?
Hmm.
That's too scary to be forgotten, I think. To me, at least, anyway. It's got a real spooky vibe.
You're thinking of The Others, mate. I didn't say The Others. I said The Hours. Oh, yeah, not with Nicole Kidman. It's the one with, she plays Virginia Woolf, Meryl Streep. It's Meryl Streep.
Oh, I was thinking of The Others, yeah. When you said The Others, I was like, what, from Lost? The Others from Lost? Not them, I wasn't thinking of them. I'm thinking of The Ghosts in the House, Nicole Kidman, and... Wait, is that Cold Mountain? No, that's a different film still, isn't it?
Yeah, but Nicole Kidman is in a house in Cold Mountain. Never saw that. The Others is fantastic. But no, this is The Hours.
I've never seen The Hours.
Me neither, so let's not.
Okay.
James Cook coming in hot with The Quantum of Solace.
I mean, of the Bonds.
That's the Bond to do.
That's the forgotten Bond, I would say. I did rewatch it not that long ago, as in within the last sort of 4 years. I found it very dull. I do think the villain's quite good fun, but it is dull. It's not a romp fest in the slightest. I do want to say, though, spend a little bit of time, if you wouldn't mind, talking about how great Daniel Craig is as Bond. Have we done that before? Paid him some lip service?
No, but I kind of feel like we should do that as an episode of... We should do a you know, the Craig as Bond, Solace, Skyfall, Spectre, Triptych. Because obviously Spectre. Casino Royale.
Spectre's yeah, exactly. Also quite forgotten, isn't it?
Right. I think we should do that and we should really give the chat... It's like a proper chat. Lisa Pantoof... She also picked The Fountain, and she's also picked Noah. But not also. She's picked Noah, the other Aronofsky, which is, I think, is a pretty good shout. Rusty Crowe as Noah. Never saw it. I started watching it and got bored.
I never watched it either, but it has got Emma Watson. It's got Hermione in it, hasn't it? Yeah. Mm. It did look a bit dull. Do you know, I nearly put Napoleon on the other day, and then I chose Wolves instead that we talked about at the end of the last episode. But I do think I'm getting somewhere towards putting Napoleon on. It's on Apple TV here in the UK. And when I'm logging on there, I'm sort of like, I'm starting to think, maybe I'll watch Napoleon. I know that's not Noah, but it's another historical figure with an N name, you know?
Yeah, you've also got Nigel Farage.
Yep.
Not a movie about him yet.
No.
I think Danny Dyer would be... I would cast him as Nigel Farage. I had an idea for if they did an in-betweeners, a new in-betweeners movie,
yeah,
where the four teenage kids, they're all grown up. And I, for our foreign listeners, in the last few days, the Online Safety Act has come into force in England and the UK. And it means if you want to access... not just pornography sites, but stuff with adult content, you have to prove your age. And there are various ways you can do that, for like facial ID, or you have to enter your passport or pay for a credit card or get a VPN, for example. So some people recently have got a VPN.
Right.
But my idea was, and it turns out it's very similar to a South Park episode, but I love the idea that Jay from The Inbetweeners, he wakes up he's like 30, 35, and he's going to have his morning wank, and he gets hit with all this stuff. You know, he has to prove his age, and he's like, oh no, I can't, this is outrageous, I would just want to have a wank. And him and the friends go off on a hilarious road trip to try and meet Keir Starmer.
That's nice.
They meet Danny Dyer on the way, who plays Nigel Farage. They become this unlikely, horrible representation of like a toxic masculinity along the way. They learn some lessons.
Yeah.
And then
it's
Jay,
like very much the Harold and Kumar of our time, isn't it? But with the political edge, yeah?
Yeah. And then maybe the end is Jay realises he can just use his imagination and...
Right.
And it's like, but there's just lots of knob gags. Like someone shits themselves twice. Million Dollar Baby from Lisa Pantoof. Million Dollar Baby, Clint Eastwood. You're a big Clint fan. You love Clint.
I mean, I don't love Clint. I'm an admirer of Clint's efficiency, as discussed on this podcast before. I love that Clint is always on time and under budget. You know, that's Clint. That's Clint's way. He's an old school American. He doesn't do things the new modern way of being late, lazy, and on welfare. He does things like with his own trouser legs, and they're high because of his pulling. And what was the film? suggestion here?
Million Dollar Baby. He got Oscars. Hilary Swank gets an Oscar.
Well, indeed. And I think, unfortunately, there's an entire episode of The American Office which is based around Hilary Swank. In fact, I think you've brought it up before. It's quite a sort of
hateful.
It's an odd one where they objectify her in the whole episode. They talk about whether she's sexy or cute, I think, something like that, one or the other. But Million Dollar Baby comes up regularly in that episode. It actually comes up in The Office a number of times. It's a cultural reference which that TV show makes. And I just don't feel as though a film that was that deeply culturally penetrative can be a forget-you-forgot film. So whilst perhaps it's not quite to the extent where I would say, hey, ban the rest of this list, I reject the notion that it's a forget-you-forgot because I still think people talk about it now.
But I don't think they've seen it or can remember what happened in it. So I kind of think it is. Just because someone says the name of a film doesn't mean they remember it. Although I guess in a way, if the fact it's on people's mouths, it's just the name of it is there's not enough time for them to have forgotten it existed. So I've talked myself around. You're right.
Thank you. Because I think like the other joke in The Office that Pam makes, it's one of the intro bits, you know, before the credits roll at the very beginning, or for the titles roll, sorry. Just before that happens, there's a bit where Michael comes in as the Meryl Streep character from Devil Wears Prada, and he walks around the office strutting and pointing at people and being really, really mean to them. And it cuts to Pam, who's to camera, saying, oh, Michael's just started watching Devil Wears Prada. He watches films in chunks because you can't get through them in one go. And he loves being the character. So the next day he comes in, he's really apologetic because he realizes Meryl Streep was the bad guy, you know? And then something else happens. He comes in the next day and he does something a bit confusing because Pam can't immediately work out what the film is. And then she's sitting there to camera and she finally realizes, oh, it's Million Dollar Baby. And then she goes, oh, no, he's going to try to kill me. You know, I just think that a TV show that big doesn't use a film reference like that unless that's a film that's sort of like in culture enough that it will be known, is clear. Like that joke needs to work. That's one of the most like, I don't say this to be rude about The Office, but it's a low common denominator accessible show for large audiences. And I don't think a film like that gets to be a core reference in an opening for an episode if it's not a canonical film. So you could make an argument that in the 10 years since that episode came out, or 15 years or whatever, that maybe it's fallen out of the canon.
That's my argument. I think because like The Simpsons... Wait a sec. Well, I agree. But also, you were doing so well, but then I think you fucked yourself. Like just because Wayne's World parodies something in Wayne's World doesn't mean that thing sustains in culture to this day. And the same with like a Simpsons reference or a joke in The Office. Like the only reason it was a big joke in The Office is because it won an Oscar and it was big at the time, but then it swiftly got forgotten. We're going to be doing Parasite, you know, because we've forgotten it, you know, anything about it, and we can't believe that people still bang on about it.
That's true, but The American Office is still a huge show now, and so...
But people won't get that joke.
I think they do.
They won't get that joke.
I don't know.
Email us at moviesyouforgot@gmail.com. Tell us on the Discord. No, yeah, don't email us, actually. If you email me about this, I'm going to ignore it. Set up a chat, join the Discord, and set up a chat saying... Will The Office / Million Dollar Baby, yes or no, will people get that joke to this day?
There's an episode, there's a server called Episode Discussion in which this would be the perfect place to have this conversation.
I want a thread that is just this chat and it's just yes or no. with some debate, maybe. Just have a conversation.
I want it to be in this room. I want it to be a thread. I want it to be yes or no. That's all. Nothing else will I accept. I don't want to add it to the list. No. I'm not adding it to the list.
No, I agree. You were good. You had a good run for it. You sort of slightly fucked yourself.
I don't want to watch it.
And Lisa's final shout is Syriana, starring George Clooney.
It's going right on.
going right on that flick.
Good shout, Lisa. Well done.
Now, Jem Tyler. Oh, I know Jem. As I live and breathe.
He could have just Jem in real life?
Yeah, yeah. He could have WhatsApped me these, but he emailed in.
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
Man in the Iron Mask. That's the Leo one.
Never seen it.
The Count of Monte Cristo.
What, like the original film?
No, the one with Leo in.
Oh, never seen it.
Oh, no. Does that one not have Leo in it? Count of Monte Cristo has Jim Caviezel. Jesus is in the Count of Monte Cristo. Oh, yeah, and Guy Pearce. They're very forgotten movies, but I could do without seeing them. He suggests Hero, Jet Li's Hero.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. And I suppose we could add that. That came up a little bit in our conversation, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, didn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, but Hero came up.
But Jet Li deserves his own, okay, his own show, I think.
Let's put Hero on the list. Yeah, it's on.
Oh, well done, Jem. You made it.
Mm. Yeah.
Jose of the Great Email.
Is family. It Jose of the Great Email?
I believe it's.
How many films has he sent in?
Just the one.
It's going straight on, whatever it is. What is it?
It's Danny Boyle's lesser well-received Hollywood foray, A Life Less Ordinary.
I've never seen it. Let's put it on.
Yeah, it's a deep cut, but very good.
Sure.
No, the film isn't good. The suggestion is good. The film's not. The film is absolutely. It's very of its time. That kind of indies 90 American thing. Angels, Andrew Ward, A History of Violence.
Oh, that keeps cropping up on all the streaming services, and I feel as though A History of Violence and, for some reason, Hunger get referenced together sometimes. They're sort of in. Does that make sense to you, why I would consider those films? I know they're nothing alike.
No, tell me more. This is a doorway into your brain.
For some reason, in my brain, and you know what? It could be something as simple as, this isn't real, I'm just saying, this is a hypothetical. It could be something as simple as I once had a pirated DVD that had both of these films on and the titles next to each other. It could be that. But for some reason, I associate them as together in some way, similar, you know.
Okay, for some reason. If only you had the fucking wherewithal to tell us what that was. Because I'm on the edge of my seat here. For some reason, and then Joe just gazes off into the distance for the next 10 minutes. Oh, Christ, hang on a sec. The phone's ringing. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Who am I speaking to?
Hi, it's Joe.
Oh, hello.
Were you not expecting my call, Doctor?
No, I'm sorry, you've got me in between. I didn't check my diary.
Well, it's the same time every week, I mean.
Yeah, no, I was just having a cup of tea and a biscuit. Sorry, very, very unprofessional of me. I got mixed up. I thought today was Tuesday, but you're right, it's actually Monday and it is your slot.
Well, I
was expecting Tabitha from Crouch End.
Listen, this isn't how, you shouldn't be saying anything. Don't give me any details of your other patients.
Are you going to do something bad with that information? Well, are you going to go to Crouch End and find someone called Tabitha?
No, of course not. But the thing is, and I know you know this, the thing is, the more information you give me about you, the more power I have to judge you, and therefore the less powerful your words of advice will be. So if you tell me that you have another patient or another person you see, because I know you don't call them patients, called Tabitha,
yeah,
and also that you're drinking tea and having a biscuit and being very impressionable, you thought it was the wrong day of the week, that just lowers my level of trust in you. You know,
it's classic Joe. I love the idea that you think that you could have any kind of power over me. It's good. It's good. I mean, we could do a whole chat. Is that what we're going to chat about?
Have I called the wrong number? Have you had a personality transplant today? This is just, it's just quite an abrupt start to the session. That's all. I'm a bit surprised at your attitude. I'm sorry. I'll try to get past it. Yeah, everyone has an off day, I suppose.
But apology accepted, and I like that you've recognised that you're having an off day.
Is this a new part? Like, have we moved on to a new level where you're really aggressive to me to see how I'll react? Is that it? Is it an anger test or something?
I watched that Apple TV show with Harrison Ford, and he just starts calling out his patients, and maybe that I'm kind of, I feel
shrinking.
Like I'm maybe, yeah, that's it. And I'm quite inspired by that. So I'll be honest, hands up. I just thought I might start being a little bit more Harrison Ford.
Right. Okay, that makes some sense, yeah. I mean, because I watched that show as well, and I thought, well, this isn't anything like any therapy I've ever had or experienced. And I can't imagine that this would sort of work for anyone. But it's interesting that you as a therapist watched it and thought, oh, I'll give this a try. This looks great. But okay, I've forgotten what I was calling for now. It was something.
Perp, you see, I've made you forget your troubles. I've made you forget your troubles. You called and you had all this shit going on. And guess what? You're not thinking about it. You can't even think about it. It's because I've removed your ego. I've pulled your pants down and you are in the palm of my hand. And you're dancing to my tune. And this is what we need to do more often. You need to cede power to other people who are smarter than you, who have greater ideas than you, who know more about the human mind. Right?
Right.
And I think,
okay.
I think, you know, last time you were talking about your friend, your co-host on that podcast you were doing, and you were telling me how in control you felt of him and how you were the master. And I think you should call that guy up, and I think you should apologize.
Well, the thing is about that, you know, if you want, because it is an interesting dynamic. The thing about that is that, you know, I am sort of the co-host. He's the host, you know, and he is good at it. Like he's definitely got a lot better since we've started doing it. It's actually been, it's quite heartwarming and nice to watch. It's like watching a child learn to ride a bike. It's sort of, you know, you don't think, when you look at someone else's child do it, you think, oh, gives a fuck about that. But then when it's your child, you think, wow, look at how elastic their mind is, that their brain is like a sponge, and it's okay that they've got this bit wrong or that bit wrong, because they've got a long future ahead of them to learn more and more. So on the one hand, I feel that. But then the other, I remember that the only reason we're even here doing this is because we had to swap it round at the beginning, because Adam was so unhappy that, you know, and that, I don't know, I sort of think, yeah, it's a confusing mixture of like pride and then resentment. Some ways. Like,
wait, stop, turn around, take a step.
Spy Game from Andrew Ward, another Andrew Warder. Spy Game, Bradley Pitts, Robert Redford. Came out when I was at university.
Oh, I've never actually seen this film, but I am aware of it as a film. Should we include it?
I think so. It would be a great double bill with Body of Lies. Like, we could do, if we were like playing around with the format in the next 100 episodes, the Spy Game, Body of Lies double bill would be quite a lot of fun.
Okay, quick question though, very important question. Is Spy Game two words or all one word?
Two words.
Great, got it. I got it right.
Spy Game. Spy Game? Spy Game.
Right, okay. That sounds fun. It's on the list. What's next?
Josh Boothroyd. Not the son of Betty, I don't believe. The Bone Collector. And that's not what we call, like a cock joke then.
Who's the Bone Collector? Well, is it exactly your mum?
Hey, you did it. Well done. That's fantastic. I love that. Yeah. That's Angelina Jolie. Denzel Washington.
I've never seen The Bone Collector. Do you want to put it on the list?
It's a good one. It's a good one to do, okay. I think. It's,
yeah.
It's a kind of a shit, schlocky serial killer flick that they did like a lot of in the 2000s.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm struggling in this episode so far because we've added 7 films to the list.
Okay.
But I don't know and haven't seen the vast majority of films that you're reading. I just want to acknowledge that because I feel like most of my contributions so far, I've never seen that. I don't know what to say.
But you've been talking most of the episode.
No, I mean, that's a function of who I am as a person, absolutely.
You've managed to make a comment about, oh, that makes me think of this. And
right, yeah.
You're doing really, really well.
Did you like that bit where I said that one of the films reminded me of another that is in no way related to it?
That is the high point,
okay,
for sure.
Let's do it instead. What about this? Can we do it like a word association game? Where you say a film to me, and then I have to say just for the next few films, I have to say a word to you off the top of my head that is most associated with that film for me in my head. Yeah.
Or
right,
I could tell you who's in it, uh-huh. And then you could say, "I haven't seen this film, but isn't it funny? You're so sharp. You always kind of go, isn't it funny about Ryan Gosling or whoever."
Let's try both and see which one works
both better,
yeah?
Okay.
Let's do mine first, and then we'll do yours.
Okay, so here we go.
Yeah.
The Perfect Storm.
Oh.
From Josh Boothroyd.
Wet rain. Yeah?
Do you know The Perfect Storm and who's in that?
No. Yes, Tom Hanks.
No, it's a Clundog and
it's
a Mark Wahlberg.
It's actually about a storm.
It's about the perfect storm.
Yeah, I think I've seen it, though. Have I? I think this might be a really, really deep forget you forgot. I'm just going to have to look that up quickly.
The thing is, it's really rubbish. But it's Wolfgang Peterson. It's George Clooney.
Do you know what? I think I've seen it. They're on a boat the whole time, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they've got worried wives. The worried wives montage is always good.
All right, let's put it on the list because I have actually seen it. So that seems fair enough, right?
Yeah. You're going to say instant no. I'm going to read this out just because Joseph Hughes only sent one, I think. Punch Drunk Love.
I mean, well, no, obviously no, right? I mean, you would have said an instant no as well, presumably, because it's just not a forgotten film. In no sense of the term is it forgotten. Here's three different ways in which it isn't forgotten, okay? The first one, by society and culture, not forgotten. People all know this film. The only people who don't know this film are people who don't like films, and they're not included in this list, okay? Here's another way in which it's not forgotten. Adam Sandler, every time he does a somewhat or even semi-serious film, everyone goes, oh, wasn't he great in Punch Drunk Love? Shouldn't we have another of Punch Drunk Love? And forgetting the fact that there are about 4 others already, that the film was actually sort of fine anyway, that it's, you know, pretty
it's
decent. And it's a
Better
pretty decent,
that.
Enjoyable watch. But I do genuinely believe that one of the reasons that it, you know, struck such a chord is because it was the first time we all saw Adam Sandler do something new. There's something extra magic about it because of that. Beyond that, I think it's, you know, a perfectly good film, but I'm not sure if it had an ordinary actor in that lead role that it would have stood the test of time in the way that it has. So that was number two. Number three is just that it's a fucking Paul Thomas Anderson film, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's why within his canon, that's the one people, it kind of slips through. People are talking about...
I don't think it does.
Well, in comparison to that, people are always, number one, talking about There Will Be Blood.
Of course, well, that's the most
number
famous
one.
That's
right,
obviously.
Of course. Yeah. Right, so then as you see trickle down, the next mention is going to be Magnolia. And then the next mention is going to be The Master.
Yeah.
And then the next mention is probably going to be Boogie Nights because of the cock out.
Sure.
And then, of course, this is in terms of quality.
Then it's Punch Drunk Love.
And then it's Punch Drunk Love. I'm not talking about quality, people. Don't set up a Discord where you have a go at me about how I listed the PTA films.
No,
I will
I
not have it.
Listen, I get that. I understand that. All I'll say to you, and I believe this to be true, the bottom of that PTA list is still of a high enough quality to not be generally forgotten. If the game was within the context of a specific filmmaker's filmography, what film is most forgotten, then I would say still not even Punch Drunk Love in the case of Paul Thomas. I think people have forgotten about Inherent Vice. No one watched Licorice Pizza, as we talked about the other day, right?
Yeah,
There's other PTA films that people talk about less. This one is so celebrated. It's like, forget about whether it's over or underwhelmed. It's whelmed, man. Like it's rated as it should be.
This is what the episode should have been. You tearing a piece out of every single suggestion.
Well, it helps. When
no,
I know the film.
We're not doing it. No, we're not doing it. Pathetic. Here are the four reasons, not just one. But yeah,
anyway,
we did do Boogie Nights.
That's not on the list. No.
Jonathan Powell, we are 2, 4, 5. We are 6 films away from the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, great!
I told you we were on the home straight. Jonathan Powell, Predators.
What's the name of the actor? Is it Jonathan Powell? Is the name of the actor? You know that lovely old man. He plays Keira Knightley's dad in the Pirates of the Caribbean films. You know, he plays the Pope in. He plays the Argentinian Pope in The Two Popes opposite Anthony Hopkins.
You're talking about Jonathan Pryce.
Jonathan Pryce. Yeah, that's the name of the person I was trying to think of. You were saying Jonathan Powell, were you? Completely unrelated then.
Completely unrelated.
Yeah. What was the film?
Predators.
Oh, Predators. That's Predator 2.
No, Predator 2. You can't forget you forgot that. That is so gory and fun. Predators was a Robert Rodriguez directed, Adrian Brody starring.
Wow, never seen it.
No, of course you haven't. But it's a dumb, lovely. Actually, no, it wasn't Robert Rodriguez. He wrote the script.
Oh,
fuck, that's embarrassing.
How embarrassing for you?
Some nobody called Nimrod Antal directed it.
Nimrod.
Walton Goggins is in it.
Wow.
Mahershala Ali is in it.
Jesus.
Come on.
Let me tell you.
Of all the Predator movies, it's the one to do.
Fine. It's on the list. It's just that Predator. Now, I know you might not like this.
Don't you say it. He's going to say it. What's he going to say?
I might say it because...
You're going to say Predator's a shit character.
No, Predator, the film.
Oh, the Arnie one.
With Arnie.
Superb.
And the others.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
When?
Early 20s, you know? And I thought, this is fucking rubbish. It's so boring. It's like, I'm just not interested at all. It seems like a joke almost. Is everyone saying they like this because, what, because it was everyone drunk when they watched it? Or was this like a special vibe in the 80s that I don't understand? Or like... What's the deal with this? Why is everyone always saying it's like Alien? It's nothing like Alien. Alien's amazing. Predator is really boring and stupid. And I didn't hate it. I just felt almost nothing about it. And I felt no desire to ever watch it again. And also, I thought it looked bad.
It looks great. It looks. Nah. It's got a great 80s grainy...
I don't like that look, and I don't like the sort of like the heat map thing that they do. The Predators do.
Yeah, that's quite shit. That's dated quite badly.
I don't like that. So I never watched another Predator film because I thought, well, obviously this isn't for me. And I bet there are other people out there similarly. So it's on the list. It's fine, but just to warn you. Not a Predator guy. I'm not a Predator.
I'm not a Predator guy either, but I do know how to have a good time.
Well,
and Predator's a good time. John McTiernan, that was the film he made.
Right, yeah.
Before Die Hard.
McAtee.
McAtee.
Quick question though, on the notion of Predators.
Oh, please, yeah, keep it light.
If you had to be a particular bird of prey, which would you choose and why? It's always a good question I like to ask people, because for two reasons. Reason number one, it reveals the number of different birds of prey that they know, which I think tells you a lot about a person. Number two, because I feel as though you could tell about their personality, their identity, when they reveal to you their bird of prey answer. So what do you think?
I mean, I just don't know enough bird of preys.
I mean, yeah, that's what I suspected about you. How many do you think you know? Without guessing in your head, without thinking of through any of them, say a number that you think you could confidently list bird of praise. Go now. Go. Say it now.
3.
Okay, well, everyone could list 3. Can you push it a bit higher? Do you think you could name 7?
Well, okay, fine. Give me a number. Fine, I'll
okay,
try
seven.
And do 7.
Try and name 7.
Owl.
Well, yeah, but you have to go... Okay, fine. That will give you a family.
You're going to say an order of size?
No, I wasn't going to say an order of size. I was going to say owl is a category of, like, it's a genus or whatever. There's shitloads of owls. If you say owl, kestrel, falcon, you're going to run out of birds pretty quick.
I was just going to say owl, kestrel, falcon. What are you talking about? Those were my first three. I'm not, like, what do you mean, run out of what?
Because there's
types.
It's a something... A falcon or a something owl. It's not like an owl is a family of different birds. There's a
so
number of
accept,
different types of owl.
So you'd accept this answer. A barn owl.
Yes.
A white owl. A tawny owl.
Yes. I don't think a white owl is a real owl, but I'll accept a barn owl and a tawny owl.
Christ, okay.
You've embarrassed yourself saying white owl there. Come
white
on.
Owl. Well, yeah. You know, the one from Labyrinth.
Uh-huh.
Is that just the barn owl?
I think it's a snowy owl.
Snowy. Okay, there sorry. Yeah. I say white.
So that's three.
Snowy.
You're on three now.
An American bald eagle.
Yeah. Actually, no, it's just a bald eagle and an American eagle. That's two. I'll give you five. Two more.
A vulture.
Well, no, again, a vulture is a sort of a family of.
Yeah, that's what they come in. They come in a family. Family of vultures. the ones from the Jungle Book. What are they called?
I don't know. What were they, ravens or something?
Ravens.
I mean,
yeah,
ravens aren't... They're not. I guess you could argue that they're birds of prey, because they're probably
carrion,
do
though,
kill...
Aren't they?
They're carrion, yeah. They're not really birds of prey. Well, no, not and. You've still got two more to go.
And then also, coming up the rear is a hawk.
Yeah. Any kind of hawk?
It's one of the better ones, one of the good hawks. One of the top hawks in the game.
One of the top hawks out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll accept hawk because no one had said it yet. So, you know, you can throw that in.
I mean, I'm obviously saying, you said kestrel, but I'm obviously saying kestrel because we've all seen Kez.
Yeah.
But that counts.
You can have kestrel.
Yeah, kestrel.
I mean, do you know the fastest bird alive?
An ostrich.
No, not on the ground.
Well, mate, you've got to, you know, explain your terms. The fastest bird alive is my missus when I try and say, can we have sex tonight?
Oh, good Lord.
I think the times we live in are very stressful. And people want to laugh, you know? They want to enjoy themselves, you know, forget their worries and... Things are a little silly, you know.
Couple more from Jonathan Powell. Oblivion, Timothy Cruise.
Listen, Jonathan, it's a reasonable suggestion. I don't want to admit it to the list because I just feel exhausted by the Cruise chat. We've done so much of it on this podcast. And while there'll inevitably be more at some point, I don't think we need the audience to steer us towards Cruise chat. So I'm going to say I don't think we should include that. But Adam, you can have your say.
I think it's a great shout. I think it would be good on the list. At some point, I'd like to do it because it would mean we could talk about Moon. It's the kind of the big budget Moon. It's great. It's a good sci-fi flick. We could make some kind of pact as long as we could just agree to not talk about Cruise for the whole episode.
There would be no point doing that.
But
though.
That could be quite a fun. It could be quite a fun elephant in the room. The crews in the room, and then we could try and bait
we've
each
done,
other.
We've tried to do that before. It doesn't work.
That's what's so fun about it. Because then we end up.
How many times are we going to try and do a Tom Cruise episode without talking about him? Look, if you want me to put it on, I'll put it on. That's all you got to say.
No. Let's not.
Great.
30 okay. Days of Night.
Yeah, that goes straight on the list.
It's a superb. Superb suggestion. Powell gets the game.
I'm afraid to watch that, though, so please don't vote for it.
Josh Hartnett, vampires.
Mm.
It's such a great premise. And as I recall, I really enjoyed it. And one more, Super 8.
Is that the last of all, or is that the last Jonathan Powell?
The last Jonathan Powell, the penultimate suggestion, Stevie Spielberg's...
I never watched it.
Fairly forgotten. Did you not?
No, never watched it.
I think it's a good shout. It's a good coming-of-age sci-fi combo.
All right, I'll put it on the list.
You know what? I did cut... A couple of people did recommend The Terminal. Would you have accepted it?
It's famous for not being a film people thought was good. I think that's too much in the genre of... These are bad films that we're watching and talking about. You know, that's not what this is.
No,
maybe The Terminal's better than people, you know, give it credit for. But this also isn't, hey, that movie that everyone said was bad is actually really good, and we're here to tell you why. That's not what this is either, you know.
No.
This isn't content.
Well.
This is nonsense, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is deliberately designed to not make structural sense. If we wanted to do that, we would do things like, here's four things about movies that you didn't know before that you do you want to know? We can do it for you. You know, that's not what this is.
You do that though sometimes.
No.
If
we wanted to be like that, we would do things like, hey, should we play a game where we guess how much the movie cost to make? But that's not what this is. We don't do that here. We're not interested in that. It's not that we can't think of things like that that would be as good. It's, you know, because if we were anything like that, then we'd do stuff like, hey, occasionally we'd do stuff like where we read lists of actors' movies from IMDb, and then we talk about them. You know, that's not what this is. We don't do that here.
Hey, shall we play that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game, where I say a name, two names, and you have to say the movies that connect them?
What kind of person would listen to base level nonsensical bullshit contentified chat like that? It's almost disgusting to think. I would never, ever, 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 ever patronize an audience to such an extent where I would expect them to listen to that kind of bullshit. You know, I'm offended even thinking about it, to be honest with you. What was the film?
Last suggestion. It's from, and I tried saying this listener's name. It's a username, Tripler3.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned them in part one. And they've suggested Money. They've suggested Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, the Oliver Stone sequel to the movie of the same name.
Oh, I've never seen Wall Street or Wall Street Money Never Sleeps.
Got Shia LaBeouf's in it and Josh Brolin's.
Right. Yeah, I think it's got Josh Brolin's. Should we put it on? Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. Okay. Well, that's on there now, along with 45 other films.
Fuck.
That's a lot.
Can I read them out? I'm going to read out the list and you're just going to say...
You've got the list as well.
I've got the list in front of me. I'm just going to read the list out and I just want you to say yes or no. I'm not going to do anything. It'll just be fun for me. Say yes or no.
What's the category? Doesn't matter.
Don't access that.
Okay.
It's a high, just say yes or no.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Body of Lies.
Yes.
Elysium.
No.
Equilibrium.
No.
Identity.
No.
Big Fish.
Yes.
Sin City.
Yes.
Toy Story 4.
Yes.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
No.
Predestination.
Yes.
Mud.
No.
Jackie Brown.
Yes.
Master and Commander.
Yes.
The Girl with the Pearl Earring.
No.
Source Code.
No.
Wanted.
Yes.
The Peacemaker.
No.
The Proposition.
No.
Bridge of Spies.
Yes.
John Carter.
No.
National Treasure.
Yes.
Attack the Block.
No.
Lost in Space.
Yes.
Foxcatcher.
Yes.
Hugo.
No.
An Education.
No.
Watchmen.
Yes.
Where the Wild Things Are.
Yes.
The Lovely Bones.
No.
Juno.
No.
Underworld.
Yes.
Public Enemies.
No.
Kong Skull Island.
Yes.
In Time.
No.
The Weatherman.
No.
The Fountain.
No.
Quantum of Solace.
No. Yes, 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 yes.
Syriana.
Yes.
Hero.
No.
A Lifeless Ordinary.
No.
Spy Game.
No.
The Bone Collector.
No.
The Perfect Storm.
No.
Predators.
No.
30 Days of Night.
Yes.
Super 8.
No.
Wall Street Money Never Sleeps.
No.
Brilliant. Okay. Now, listeners, that doesn't mean anything. That just was the list.
All right. Come to our Discord server. There'll be a link in there for you to vote. On this, there are 46 films in here. I think what I'll do is I'll set it so that you can vote for as many of them as you want. So if there's 20 of these that you want, you can vote for 20 of them. And then we'll do the cumulative score that, of the film that has the highest number. So that will be, I think that's a good way of doing it because it means that people can almost sort of vote for their second, third, fourth options in a sense. And that way, if there are a few more popular ones on this list, like Jackie Brown, for example, maybe, I don't know, Underworld, right? These sorts of films that you think maybe other people are going to vote for. You, if you had a preference between those two, you could also vote for the one you wanted and maybe it'll balance out that way. So please do that. And then when we have, we'll, I guess we'll give it, what, a couple of, yeah, a few days. And then we'll pick the top one. And next week's episode will be about that film.
Yeah, episode 102, because this was a two-parter.
Yeah.
And that counts as two episodes.
That is how it works.
And then we will never engage with you ever again. Oh, wait, actually, no, we'll engage with you loads on the Discord.
That's right.
Yeah. And but we'll go back to the game where we list movies that we forgot.
Yeah.
Because also the podcast is called The Movies You Forgot. And you're allowed to, listener, have forgotten you'd seen a movie in the first place. But if you do let us know what that is, Joe will judge you and list four reasons as to why you're wrong.
That's true.
Yeah. But who doesn't love to be roasted? You know, ducks, birds of prey.
Birds of prey. Would you roast a bird of prey? Okay, here's a question for you. If you had to roast a bird of prey, which one would it be and why?
Well, I guess, you know, you're gonna eat it afterwards, so you want some meat on the bone.
It's a very logical consideration. I didn't say anything about eating it. If this was a sort of, hey, welcome to, you know, your Google workplace interview, and here's one of those random questions that the big tech companies throw in to test you.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would either be considered a positive logical advancement of the answer or a sort of, hey, this guy's really normal. He thinks when we roast a bird, we have to eat it, you know, whereas actually I was planning on throwing it down a chimney or something.
Right. I mean, it's a great question. And all I want to do now is ask Colin what he would answer.
When was the last time you watched Her?
Keep it on your list. The next, I'd love to do Her. I would love to do Her.
I really think, like,
should we make, you need to get, because I got you on Dogma.
Yeah.
Why don't we do, I'd say you've just got me plumb with Her accidentally at the end of this episode, and let's do the first proper episode back as Her. I think that's a really great shout.
Okay.
And then we can get back into the swing of things because we're kind of out of kilter.
Let's do that because I think honestly my prediction for you is that since the last time you watched Her, the world has changed and now I think Her is much, 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 much more believable and more frightening a prospect.
Whenever I think about the movie Her, do you know what question I always ask?
Is it, how can I prove my identity, my age?
No, I just wonder, what would J.K. Rowling think of this title?